Hey, Bob WP here. Welcome to Do the Woo, the WooCommerce Builder Podcast. This show is brought to you by NitroPack.io, the all-in-one solution for performance optimization of your client sites, and FooSales.com, the WooCommerce point-of-sale solution that helps you bring your shop to the physical world. I'll tell you more about our pod friends later in the show, but hey, it's time to get started into another dev chat as Matchek joins Zach and Carl for a deep dive into testing and automating deployment.
Hello, everybody. I'm Zach Stepik here with another episode of the Woo Dev Chat. I have Carl Alexander here with me.
Hey.
And we have a magical guest with us today. And we do a little pre-show chat before we start recording. And our guest today, I didn't know how to pronounce his name. So now we know that Matchek is very close to magic. So Matchek Palmowski,
yes,
is with us today. I knew I was still going to butcher something. And we're going to talk about CI/CD. Continuous integration and deployment.
I mean, I love it. Like I think one of the OG talks, I did a couple of talks on CI/CD, like how to deploy, like how to update plugins automatically, like how to set up a workflow. I was taught it's like, it's always been a bit of a harder sell with on WordPress. Although like all this stuff is kind of trending up. Like, I see there's more interest in testing because testing is like an important aspect of CI/CD. So if I guess we could like, do you want to give a small intro? Like you give the workshops like magic. I'm calling you magic. You're like,
okay. Yeah.
This, you're magic. Yeah. Pete. You're yeah, magic Pete now. Now on.
In my case, I even got interested with all those automation with everything related to automation because I am lazy. I am lazy, and just at some point I realized that doing the same thing over and over, it's just boring. It's horrible. It's tedious. I did not want to repeat myself doing all the same things. Like for example, even the simplest theme that we are deploying, every time we have to, for example, install some composer stuff and run some NPM scripts and remember about this every time, it's horrible. I have better things to do. So I learned that I can automate it in some way. And thanks to the fact that I was so lazy, although some people told me that I shouldn't use the term lazy, but efficient, I'm not sure. I will still go with laziness.
I mean, if you think of all the progress that we've made as developer due to laziness, like,
I mean, I think most of progress in the whole IT is the laziness is somewhere underneath all those great and bright ideas. And here it was the same. It was boring doing the same thing. And this is the general thing behind CI/CD, because we are humans, we make mistakes. And when we start doing something over and over, it will quickly become boring. And if something is boring, there is a much bigger chance that we'll make this mistake. So we should just write a script, a pipeline, whatever, that will just do those things for us, because machines are amazing when it comes to repeat stuff. They love doing this. They can repeat things over and over. The only problem is that we have to program them in the right way, because if we'll make a mistake, they will repeat it over and over because it's not a problem for them. So this is the hard part when it
they're dumb. They're just dumb. They're just listening to what you say.
Yeah, exactly.
If you say jump off a bridge, the machine's gonna jump off the bridge. They're not gonna say like, wait, should I be doing that? No, they're just gonna...
Yeah, or maybe a more CI/CD example. If you write remove / rf, and yeah, it will just remove the folder, and that's it.
rm-rf/, just delete your entire machine.
Exactly. And that's, and this was exactly what you wanted to do. I mean, I also did it once or twice because I was sure that I was in a bit different folder. Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, or you forget you're connected to the server.
Or something like this. Yeah, it happens. It really happens. So this, I mean, this is the best thing about automation. They will follow whatever you want. And this is the worst thing about automation. The machine will follow exactly what and do what you want. So this can be a problem. This can be a problem. So,
but you only make the mistake once. Because if you fix it, then the machine's not going to repeat it again.
Yes.
Which is, I always thought that was like the main argument that I was introduced it to, at least in the WordPress ecosystem. Mm-hmm. It's like accident protection. Like just even something like automated deployments, right? Like the number of times like you've like, you overwrote something or you deleted something because you were like manually deploying with like FTP and something like that. It was just like, it's countless. Like I've done it countless times and I was just, you know, and how do you prevent, how do you like feel safe? Because a lot of the CI/CD too, you didn't get to it yet, but I assume you will, but it's also about like constant development.
Of course.
It's like this idea that like I can like, I can deploy, let's say I make a change to a site, like before I use CI/CD or an agency, like you basically would deploy things by hand and then you're like scared to do it because like if you make a mistake, so you wait and then your releases become larger and larger and larger. And then like, and that's the whole point. I forget what the term is, like, continuous development or like
there are, I mean, the CI goes for continuous integration. The second one is for either delivery or
But this idea that you always deploy, like you're always deploying a master branch
deployment, continuous deployment. Yeah, this is something really difficult. I mean, it's easy to start doing it, but it's really difficult to do it in a right way because overall, the CI part is the most difficult.
I would agree.
Because it's all about testing your code. Every time you change something, you should run all the tests.
You have to test first.
Test first, exactly. Test first and test.
you have to start by writing tests before you can even do CI. So that's already like a problem.
To be honest, not, I mean, I'm more about this gradual approach to CI/CD because the moment when, for example, I did those workshops and I told that CI/CD is cool, you can do many types of tests. There are unit tests, end-to-end tests, integration, and lots of, because there are lots of tools and so on. And the moment when some person decides, okay, so I will now spend the whole week and I will integrate everything into my project. It's impossible. It's impossible. I'm always thinking that it's much better to go step by step. And so there are many tests that only requires configuration files or just adding a simple action. For example, PHP stan or this whole static analysis. It's very simple to integrate. You just install one library. In the configuration file, you just point where you have all your libraries, and that's it.
Yeah.
And you will be sure that if you wrote the documentation, so this might be a problem, in your doc blocks specifying all your variable types and things like this, it will check if the variable types are correct, is the number of arguments in different functions and methods is correct. Those are simple things, but they can prevent from pushing a fatal error to production. So it's amazing. And it just requires one configuration file. So great. The same things goes with all those code sniffers, linters. While they won't make your code better in terms of how it works, it will look better. So if you work with the theme, with the whole team of developers, you won't spend some time at the beginning wondering why some other developers uses tabs and not spaces or in a different way, because everyone will be forced to use the same coding standard. And in the long run, it also helps to work. And again, it only requires one configuration file and installing one library. That's it. That's really simple. Carl, you mentioned using body. For example, in body, we have few actions that don't even require almost any configuration apart from adding the URL. For example, we have visual testing. So it will compare the screenshot before and after the deployment. Really great thing to check if you didn't mess the CSS, for example. And only passing the URL. It's not a test, but it works. It works and it can prevent some major bugs. Of course, at some point, you have to get to this moment. Okay, we are out of those simple options. We have to start writing some tests.
Yeah,
either exactly. Unit, either integration, or maybe end-to-end, because we live in beautiful times. We have so many tools we can use, and for some reason, so many developers in WordPress space decide to not use any.
Well, and I think if we break this down into its core components, right, a CI/CD workflow is really simple. It's such a simple concept that it really is something that we should have had much earlier in the WordPress space.
Mm-hmm.
But WordPress has been slow on adoption of things like Composer. And, you know, so orchestration has been harder.
I mean, that one's, I still personally don't think it's happening.
But I would agree in most cases, but there are great projects out there like, you know, Roots with Sage that are Composer first.
Yeah, no, Bedrock. I'm like the biggest Bedrock.
Bedrock is great.
Fan, basically, because it lets you use Composer.
I think I'm the biggest one. Sorry.
Okay. I'm sure. We could fight. Next time we're in person, we can have like try to get Roots to like Ben from Roots to just come and like officiate like the biggest Bedrock fan, fight.
Yeah.
Would you like a trophy, Carl?
Yeah. I don't need trophies. I wouldn't even know. Like, I don't like stuff. So like, I'd probably just give it to somebody after.
You definitely would. That is your 100% your personality.
Yeah. The only trophy I've ever kept is, this was really cool. So, I mean, nobody can see it, but it basically, WordCamp LA did this like kind of like this, like they gave speakers this frame with a record on it with your name. So it was like a bit like you were like a music star. It was like, oh, this is great. But
have you ever tried to play your record?
No, I've not tried to open it either. I've not tried to open the thing either. But that's kind of like the only trophy. I have the one from WordCamp US, the original WordCamp US. They have one light that was kind of like a light. But in general, I don't like stuff. Like it was the people really used to love me at WordCamps when I spoke, because they'd come and see me. If they liked swag, they would come and see me and just get all the swag that I didn't want.
Absolutely. So what I was saying, though, is if we break this down into its fundamental parts, it's really a simple set of concepts that do a very complex thing. And, you know, deployment is probably the most important part of this workflow to get clients to buy in on, right? That's the hardest part is, hey, we're going to set everything up in a repository. You're going to commit everything to that repository. Your developers can no longer touch code directly on the server. You're going to have everything set up so that it is checked when it's committed. And then we're going to have these separate environments, and nothing will go to production unless it's been tested in staging. and all of this stuff is going to happen. And it's this added layer of complexity for an organization that might be used to just cowboy coding everything, but it is so powerful. And the one thing I want to point out here that really made sense to me, because I come from an agile development background, is that agile and CI/CD pair really, really well. Because in agile, you're supposed to be doing things in short sprints and committing code constantly. Well, why not make it so that when that code is committed, it's tested against your standards, it runs its unit tests, and you make sure that it's running properly, and it goes to the environment where you can test it in a production-like environment before it goes to production. Why not automate those steps? Why do that part, man? Yet so many organizations still do it manually.
Oh yes, they do. I know a few of them, and I'm constantly surprised. I mean, I know what is the main argument, because it takes time and it costs money, which isn't a valid argument.
No, it takes time and costs money to set it up, just like testing does when you first implement unit testing. But afterwards, it saves you money.
Exactly. In the long run, I mean, the moment you will be fixing the bug on production, it will be probably the time when, if you'd write all those tests and test everything before pushing to production, you would see the difference. And in terms of time, of money, because it's, I mean, I can't, I mean, I can because I saw it, how difficult it is to manage a project that breaks from time to time on production. I mean, for example, you are booked for those 40 hours a week to do a new project. And from time to time, you have to spend an hour, 2 hours out of the blue to fix some other projects. So all your planning for all those projects is breaking with every bug introduced on production. And without fixing the root cause, so the lack of tests, you will never get rid of all your problems when it comes to planning.
Yeah, I mean, that one's always a challenge. I like to talk when I give talks on testing, but I mean, CI/CD kind of falls into that too. It's kind of like you're fighting this kind of alternate universe. It's kind of like, you're kind of like, because if you write a test and it catches something, there's another universe where you didn't write that test and maybe something broke and then you lost 3 hours or a day like figuring it out. But now that you wrote the test broke, you fixed it, took maybe, sometimes it can take like half a second, like, or something like that, and the problem solved. But it's really hard when you're like dealing, I think now it's getting better, but it's always like a struggle, even for me when I do consulting work, to like invest the time in that, because it's like a time investment and it's really hard for managers. I don't blame them, but it's hard to figure out what the ROI on doing that is. But I would say, like, I had a good discussion too with Tonya Mork, who works on Core and things like that. But I think it's even more important to do it. I personally think tests are like way more important the smaller the team is. And like this, because like if it's just me, like for example, like me working on Emir, if something breaks, like it's me, first of all, that has to go and fix it. It's an emergency for me, but also like it diverts time that I have to spend like on marketing or other things. So I just want to have safety. Like I want to feel safe that, you know, I won't break stuff. But, you know, like when you're bigger, it's like, okay, well, we'll just do a ticket. We'll do a Jira ticket and then it'll get fixed and that's that. And, you know, it's an inconvenience for a while. Obviously for e-commerce store. So if you have a WooCommerce store, it's much more important to have like this kind of stuff in place, because this is my favorite argument that I use for Emir too, is basically like, if your site goes down for like a minute, you're losing, you know, a couple thousand dollars in sales a minute because your site's down. That's your cost. So it's like for WooCommerce, I find if you manage a WooCommerce store, it's really important to have these kind of like sanity checks, like smoke tests and things like that. So if you're not familiar what a smoke test is, it's basically testing your live application. So like you make sure like simple things, like common things that you might want to smoke test are, can you add something to a cart and check out? Like once the site's live, because it's all good, it's all well and good that your deployment went well, but you also want to make sure that you don't want to wake up and people are starting to like send support tickets. Yeah, I can't check out. Like that's a big one, you know, in that scenario. So like CI/CD can help with that. Like I don't know specifically with Buddy what you can do, but like just in general, like just arriving and testing once your deployment's done is really important as well. And it's not something that's talked a lot. Like I'd like to do a talk on it. I've not, but I've never heard of anybody doing kind of a like smoke test post deployment, testing stuff. Have you done any Magic P?
To be honest, I'm not so much into WooCommerce, development, but I remember that during my agency years, we at least tried to do some simple tests. I mean, in most cases, we just checked what are the most important parts of the website. When it comes to e-commerce, let's try running a simple end-to-end test to see if can I add to cart, can I go through the checkout, filling all the data, and also in many cases it was also important for us to check if the contact forms are working correctly and are there no JavaScript console log bugs, because this is also something, especially when we are using more and more JavaScript on our front end. So sometimes having a small bug in JS can break everything. For example, I really love those websites that are using a preloader and something hangs and we can see the preloader until the end. and it never ends. Yeah. So,
but also testing other end-to-end tests too. Like I had actually email customer. Like I was working through. It wasn't even serverless related, but he had a WooCommerce shop, and if you were not logged in, the images didn't appear.
Nice.
Like the product images. I still don't know what the issue is. I managed to narrow it down that there was like an opacity zero that was being added like somewhere basically and making the image disappear, but only if you're not logged in. If you're logged in, the images look fine. So, but that's like a common thing too, you need to test logged in, not logged in. So automating all those.
Exactly.
All those things is like really important.
And also this is so important to automate it, because for example, going to the website, checking a form and filling it out, first as a logged in user, then as a logged out user, it's horrible, it's boring. I mean, I can do it once or twice, but every time more, it will just bore me to death. So that's why I try to automate it. And especially that for example, using Cypress.io, it's so simple, really. It's so simple to run some small end-to-end tests that I really don't understand why people don't do it.
Usually it's a challenge is starting.
Oh, that's true.
Like I wrote an article on like the one of my favorite talks. I want to do a talk on it, but I wrote an article is like on, it's called Grump PHP. It's like basically like it runs, it's kind of like CI/CD, but it just runs locally. So I always use it as kind of like the gateway, like the introduction to CI/CD, because You don't have to worry about pipeline setup, because the problem with CI/CD also for a lot of people, the same thing with testing, is like the initial investment is a bit steep. You're like, okay, well, I don't have any tests. I don't have anything, you know, to copy paste, because you're going to copy paste tests and then modify them. And then just, but like writing that first test is always like more time consuming. And then if you don't have anything, no test suite set up, then you have to set up that up. And then you have to set up your GitHub pipeline. Then you have, so there's a lot of upfront investment that can make it a bit intimidating. That's why it's always like tricky to tell people, like you should do it, but it's how to start. And oftentimes too, it's a temporary pain, right? You know, like you do a deploy, you messed up, you fix it. Client's not happy. You're like, it won't happen again. Obviously it's going to happen again in like 6 months, but you're like, okay, for 6 months, it's just, it's not one of those pains that's so acute that you're like, I have to invest the time. So it's always tricky, like when you're teaching about it, to get people on board about it. That's why the WooCommerce, I find is such a better like sell, because if you like tell them like, oh, that shop owner is going to lose like $10,000 if you screw this up, like
it's a perfect argument. It's a perfect argument. That's true.
Yeah, you're going to be a bit more nervous about that. So I think if you manage WooCommerce stores and things like that, I think there's more of an incentive to invest that time. But I think it's good for everyone. And once you've done it once, you can carry it on to other projects. So, and you can use, like, I'm going to shill a bit for Buddy, but also like when I give my talk for CI/CD, like I'm a big GitHub Action fan, but like the one thing with Buddy that makes it accessible and easier for people to use is they have a really good graphical interface. So like you can go in and you can plug all your steps yourself. You don't have to figure out, like, it's not this intimidating, like large YAML file that they support that. But in general, what people that love Buddy for is they love it for that. So if you're looking to start, it's good. It's a good tool for that.
Yeah. I mean, it was me many years ago, because I remember my first adventure with GitLab CI. After spending few hours that I wasted on something that didn't work.
Yeah, I mean, GitLab's even more intimidating, because if you do it self-hosted, you have to like manage all the runners and all that stuff. I was just like, I didn't use it. I've never used it.
It was a very horrible experience back then. Maybe it changed, but still, I remember it. I remember it, and for some reason, I'm not too keen on trying GitLab CI again. And then I found Buddy, and it turns out, you can, with a few clicks, you can create a pipeline. You can start automating things. And the cool part is it's not limited. It's not limited because it gives you all the options you have with using all those long and dangerously looking YAML files, because the YAML file is somewhere underneath. It just nicely divided into small chunks that you can manage. And I mean, like, this is the basic thing about about programming. Every problem that looks as big and scary and almost impossible, the moment when you start dividing it into smaller chunks, step after step, you see that, okay, it's not so horrible. It's not so difficult. Oh, wow, I almost finished it. And just going step by step. And I think this is the really cool thing about Buddy, that it really enables you to do it step by step, because when you have one big YAML file, you still have one big YAML file, and here you feel like everything is separated. So this is something really cool.
Hey everyone, Bob WP dropping into the show for a short break to tell you more about our two pod friends and to thank them for their amazing support. If you're looking for an all-in-one site speed optimization solution for you or your clients, and one that is trusted by over 100,000 sites, look no further than NitroPack. With easy setup and automatically run optimizations, such as advanced caching mechanism, image optimization stack, code minification and compression, critical CSS, and built-in CDN, your clients will be on their way to increased conversion rates, a better user experience, and an easy pass with their core web vitals. Want to learn more? Just head over to nitropack.io. If you have a client who is looking for a point-of-sale solution, consider suggesting FooSales. In fact, FooSales is the first native WooCommerce point-of-sale to support in-person payments using Square Reader. Now, you can use FooSales with the Square Terminal for your client projects, but the icing on the cake is that it not only works with FooSales iPad and Android apps, but the Foo web app. So you really need to check this out if your clients have been asking for a point-of-sale solution or a new point-of-sale solution. Find them at foosales.com. Make sure and check out both of these pod friends, and now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, I haven't used Buddy before, but I have used Branch, very similar tool.
Almost the same experience, exactly.
Yeah, it was the same idea with Branch. It was to make it...
Yeah.
Add a UI, make it more user friendly. More user friendly. I mean,
or developer. Let's say developer friendly.
That's like the number one complaint with Ymir is like you need to do it more with the admin. I was like, well, it's a developer tool, it's command line, but yeah, I think that's always like what the main comment that I get from Buddy is always that. And I think there's something when I gave talks, like I've known about, like I've written about Buddy, like before you worked there, like 4 or 5 years ago. And one of the reasons that it was brought up to me and why people liked it so much was because of that. Because if you're somebody like me, a YAML file is not very intimidating, but like I always preferred Circle CI over Buddy personally, but before GitHub Action. And now GitHub Actions I think is better than Circle CI, but I think
I've used Circle.
Buddy comes up in discussions constantly because of that. They're the only ones that really are like, basically let's make it less intimidating for people that are just actually starting with CI. Like, it's not that it's not a power user tool. It's just that they make it a lot more approachable for the uninitiated.
Yeah, but I also see one more thing, because the similar thing is quite often brought up when we talk about Git. Most developers love using Git from the command line, but there are so many nice GUI tools. I really like them.
I never use it from the command line. I like mostly because I refuse to use it because I love like staging like lines. Like I'm a micro committer. So if you don't know what a micro committer is, like basically instead of like, you know, if you make a couple of changes, like I will make like different commits for all these small changes, and it, like some people will just lump everything together, put an emoji commit message, and then leave it at that. But so because of that, I like staging specific lines in Git. And I find that so hard to do with the command line tool. But with a GUI tool, I just select the file and I just select the lines I want to commit.
It's so simple.
It's so simple. Yeah. Yeah. I always lose a lot of like, you know, senior dev creds. Not as much as the fact that I'm a two-finger typer. So if you didn't know that, like I'm a two-finger I don't actually know how to type. So that always like shocks people. But, you know, I see like Magic's like basically laughing his ass off because I've lost like a lot of developer credit. Like some people are like, you need to give away your card now. Like you're not one of us. You're not one of us. But yeah, no, I don't type. I don't know how to type.
So the only thing is that the YAML files don't frighten you, right?
No, they don't frighten me. And also, like, I think a lot of the the actions, like the reusable actions, there's just been a lot of energy. Like that's the way I talk about GitHub Actions. It's just like a lot of the stuff that Buddy does with their admin, mm-hmm. or with their graphical user interface comes from like community open source actions with GitHub Actions, but it still requires you to like piece it together and stuff. Again, like it's not as nice. Like with Buddy, like you just get it all, but it's just like GitHub Actions lets you is also super powerful. And is just like, if you're coming from Circle CI, like I was just like, oh, cool. This is like better. And there's like so much more energy and people discussing it and like sharing how to do things. So it was just like simpler for that.
Yeah. The fact that GitHub Actions are open source and all those actions for GitHub Actions are open source.
Well, we had a technical difference. Like I have to go back to Buddy to try to get it to work. But I remember like I couldn't compile Docker images. Like I couldn't compile Docker images from
inside of Docker.
Yeah, from Docker inside Buddy. Buddy has like steps to build, but it was, I don't know. I had a complex workflow and it didn't work. And you release something and I haven't tried it. But there's a few technical differences. Like it's not that like black and white. It's not just like, but in general, at least for CI, the most important thing is to just try to find tools that make you comfortable to start doing it. Same thing with testing. Like it's very overwhelming. You'll read so many things like you should test everything and stuff like that. I always say like,
oh yes. When you start reading about test-driven development, at first you think, okay, I'm not a developer. They just wrote about it that I'm not a developer. There are so many articles. I mean, this is also a bit complicated because there are so many articles about testing. I think that there are a lot of those articles that shows you how to install, for example, PHP unit, how to run PHP unit in WordPress, or how to use past PHP. And on the other end, we have few of those articles that are about some edge cases. But we are missing so much in the middle, how to start writing meaningful tests, because we already learned how to check if true is true, and the article ends with okay, so now go on and start testing everything. Great, thanks, but I don't know how. And in the next chapter that you will find are some edge cases, how a person tested some edge thing that happens only on his server twice a year. And this also, I mean, it's interesting to read something like this, but because you only know how to write this simple test, you really don't know how to push further, how to start writing those meaningful tests. And one of the things that we can read quite often is, take a look how others are doing it. Well, yes, that is true, but still, it might be very difficult to make this next step. And especially when we add WordPress to the equation, where the definition of unit tests in WordPress is kind of weird, especially those official unit tests, which are integration tests. And the first thing we have to start learning when we start unit testing our things are how to mock some functions or how to install the WordPress in background. And on the other hand, you see all those Laravel articles about how to use past, and it just runs out of the box. And so, yeah, starting to write tests in WordPress environment, it's difficult. It's really difficult. So, I mean, I remember, Carl, that you have a nice article about it, about how to start writing with you.
Yeah, I've written a couple. Testing, even with Laravel, is always a challenge. I mean, they make some things easier, but...
Oh, that's true.
I think, first of all, I never like... You were talking about like the people that write about test-driven development and things like that, and like how you, if you don't do it, you're not really a developer, you should feel bad. And like, you know, that's, I always like, I never had a lot of, I shouldn't say respect, but I, I don't think that's the right approach.
That's horrible approach. That's the worst approach.
But I mean, it's kind of funny because I talk about it a bit too in like I've taught object-oriented programming to WordPress developers. And one of the key aspects that I've done that nobody else does is I just don't arrive to you and say like, you're not doing it this way. You should feel bad. Like, I'm just like, no, I understand why you're doing it this way. So, and I'm not here to tell you that what I'm doing is better. I'm just teaching you how it works. And then it's up to you to decide whether, like there are advantages to doing it this way. So I feel like it's the same thing with testing. I just haven't done it as much, but you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, wow, this looks really intimidating. It is. And it's like, it's our job, you know, it's especially Maciek. I'm butchering his name. That's why I should just say Magic P, but that's why he does workshops and things like that, because it's intimidating to do, but it's really, I think it's important in the long run. Like I talk a lot about your future self. You have to learn to be kind to your future self. So there's a couple of things that you could do to help being kind to your future self. One, it's writing tests, because it's really easy to say like, I'm going to remember this, like while you're coding something right now.
You won't.
Because you're in it. You're in it. You're thinking about it. Like it's fresh. But like, how many times have you come back later and you like read your code and you're like, what the hell was I thinking? Like
every time.
You're like, every time. So that's why documentation is important. That's why testing is important, because sure, like you might be like, oh, this is like so obvious, I don't need to write a test for this. But really, like you have to think about, you know, who's going to come later and look at this code. And those are all like practices that are good for that. So they're good for you as a developer, just because they make you think about the future. Like they make you kinder to your future self so that you're not like completely lost. Examples, like how many times have you written a to-do in your code and then you come back like 6 months later and it's like, it was like three words and you're like, I don't understand what those three words mean now. Like it's so common. Like I do that. I still have comments like that. I try to write longer ones now because I'm like, okay, I need to actually remember, be able to piece it together. But yeah, so for CI, a lot of the content that I've written, like just Grump, Buddy, like just try to find people where they're at and try to onboard them that way. So, you know, you're intimidated about CI/CD. Okay. Well, how often do you deploy and something messes up? Like something, there's an error or something like that. Okay, cool. Well, maybe that's when you should like look into Buddy or Branch, especially like those two, because they're more like user friendly, but they'll help you deploy your code safely. And that can be just a nice first step. Like you can be like, oh, I can push a change now and I don't have to stress out that I'm going to overwrite, you know, the uploads directory or something like that. And, you know, and then but we've all been there.
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Personally, I mostly removed code. I mean, removed folders rather than overwrite them. So I'm not sure which one is better, but
the result's the same. The result's the same. The clients are yelling at you. And I feel like that's always like a good first step. Like, cause I feel like that's always like where people are have the most pain. You know, they're just like, I want to deploy safely. Like, I don't want to be scared. Like I talk about fear. Like you're scared of making changes to like your client site. You're like always like something you dread, and like, using something like Buddy is great for that. Like you can just feel like, okay, like I will push it to Git or and it will make it safely. Like we've done this hundreds of times now. Like there's never been a problem. Like we'll be good. Then you can like start adding tests to that. So you can get into CI and like you can be okay. Like this broke five times, you know, for five, like this small piece of code broke five times. I forget what the technical term is, but like there's always like areas in your code where you're going to spend more time in. Like, you know, there's stuff you write and then you never touch it for sometimes ever. And then there's some piece of code that you're always like in it. Like it's always, there's something always breaking there. So, you know, if there's stuff that's breaking all the time there, that's usually where I start. Like, I'm just like, I want to be sure I'm I'm doing this, and then you go from there. I don't know. It's a tricky conversation to have. Like I'm appreciative of all the work you do, like teaching people about it.
I had a really great conversation with Luke Downing. He's one of the co-creators of PestPHP. This is also a way to unit test your code. It's more similar to using Jest. And I remember that he got a question about how to start adding tests into legacy projects. And I really like this approach because it's really good. Because as you mentioned, the most important thing is to get our deployment safe on production. So let's start not with those unit tests, because unit tests concentrate on small pieces of code. Let's start with either integration or end-to-end tests, just to see if after doing some changes, the most important parts of our website are still working. If they are working, then that's more or less okay. And after having those tests that will prevent from pushing a non-working website, you can start thinking about refactoring or adding unit tests to every function, every method. But start in this case with the big ones, just to be sure that your website will be alive after deployment. Because that's what it's all about. We just want to deliver a working product onto production. So
yeah, it's about feeling safe. That's always that's really how I pitch it. It's about like feeling safe working on your stuff. When you don't have tests, when you don't have automated deployments, everything feels kind of like very fragile. You feel like if you touch anything, it'll just like break apart, and then you don't want to touch anything. You don't want to take risks. You know, refactoring is a huge risk. You're like,
oh, exactly, and it's almost impossible without having tests. No,
I mean that's one of my main personal reasons why I like testing, is because I'm OCD about coding stuff, and I like sometimes I want to like rewrite part of it, and you feel safe. Like I'm thankful, or like you know I sleep at night. Like I
absolutely,
you know, because of that. Like I work on a product, and I can sleep at night because I know that I've not broken anything. So it's like I can make a deploy and things will work. And that's really hard to do if you don't have tests. So it's like it's a source of stress. And it's one of those things too. Like I think you must relate to that. Well, both of you must relate to that. But like after you have started testing a bit, it's kind of like if you stop eating junk food. You know, like at first you're like, oh, this sucks. And then you feel so much better. Like you feel better. You can notice it. So I feel like testing's a bit like that, because at first it feels like painful and hard to do. But like it's hard for me to go back to like the stress, like the worry of everything, like everything being fragile, everything potentially breaking. Like whenever I make any changes, like that feeling of safety is hard to. It's hard to explain until you've lived it a bit.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're like, oh, how bad can it be? And it's like, well, I don't want to go back. Like it's bad enough that I don't want to go back to that.
Of course, on the other hand, we also have to remember that even if you have a test suite and everything, you will still probably ship a bug from time to time. And that's normal. But there is a big difference. I mean, when you have all those tests, you also have this feeling that, okay, I really did everything on my end to prevent from shipping this error, this bug to production. Okay, it happens because we are humans. Sometimes we just miss something, we didn't thought about some edge case.
Yeah, you can't get every potential scenario.
Exactly.
Like we could do an entire article on testing. Like this idea of 100% test coverage, like
it doesn't exist.
I don't believe in it. I think it's kind of a myth.
Yeah, and still, even if you will have the coverage. It won't cover every case because your code can be covered, but you didn't thought what will happen if someone names the file with some strange UTF-16 letter or something. And
yeah, no, there's a lot of scenarios, but I also think it's just it sets the wrong like framing for what you're trying to do, right? Like you get obsessed with kind of like this number, but really like it's hard to maintain that number, and that number doesn't really mean anything. Like it doesn't, you could have like coverage and like Magic P said, you basically still miss cases that are important and then you don't feel safe anyways, but you have this number. So it's really just about being honest, like try to write as many tests for like things that you can think of, and then you'll miss some. That's what bugs are for. Just write a test for those bugs. I mean, that's always how I say to start. Like, you have a bug? How do I write my first test? Do you have a bug right now? Write a test for it. Fix it. Test is green. You did your first test. You did it. And that it's that simple.
You did it. I mean, this was the way. This was the way how I was introduced to unit testing, thanks to Alain Schlesser when it comes to WPCLI. I remember when I met him for the first time at WordCamp London, and I found a bug with when it comes to importing multiple files using WPCLI. And I had some idea how to fix it, and Alain was, okay, great, but first write a test. And it was for me, but why? But I know how to solve it. No, first write the test. So I wrote the test. It was still weird, but I did it. And I wrote my glamorous fix. I was so happy that I just saved other WPCLI users from my bug. And it turns out that I created another one, which was possible to see only thanks to all those others' tests, because someone had a bit different case. And yeah, so anyway, it turned out it wasn't a problem with WPCLI, it was the problem with the importer itself.
Yeah, but those are all, that's all part of the process.
Without all those tests, and really WPCLI has like thousands of them for every case that at some point someone found a bug for, we were able to find it. And I would never, ever, because I would never even think about the problem with, because I remember it was probably something related to importing navigation menus and things like this. And I didn't even thought that it can in some way, that can introduce a bug in this section of code. And it did. And it was quite logical, quite visible, but I don't know the whole code. And this is also a very important thing about testing, that when you are a new developer, you don't know the whole code base. That's not a problem. If you have a good test coverage, you can just come in, try to write your fix or this new feature or whatever you want, and you will quite easily see if it broke something else or not. And you don't have to even know the rest of the code base, because the test will solve it for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a big thing. And, you know, I think just to kind of bring everything together here and start to kind of wrap up, I think that once you deploy, you know, unit testing and end-to-end testing across an application, starting with the core workflow paths, right? Start with the things that people do the most, move to the things that people do less frequently, and you'll get to full coverage or as close to full coverage as you can a lot faster that way, in my opinion. You know, and as you start to look at this concept of continuous deployment and using any of the tools that are out there, whether it be Buddy or Branch or even, you know, just your host's ability to deploy from Git. Like, that's a great place to start. If you want to implement you know, a code repository and you want a branch called staging to deploy to your staging server and you don't know how to do that, but your host has Git integration, that's a good place to start. It's a good place to get your feet wet. And then, you know, just build on that practice over time. Just like no development team becomes agile overnight, no development team will add continuous integration and testing overnight. You know, test-driven development is, it's a goal, it's a destination, but there's a journey to get there. CI/CD is a destination, there's a journey to get there. Just like using a code repo in the first place, for some teams, there's still a journey to get there. So just starting off on that journey and moving toward it, learning things about what these tools can do and the efficiencies that they can add to your team are huge. And if you're working on a team where multiple people are committing code, multiple people are introducing potential bugs, right? Potential issues. So in those cases, the benefit, the impact of taking the time to implement a true end-to-end development workflow with a source repository through to a integration, testing, and deployment process will have dividends in return. And so just keep that in mind as you start to explore these tools. I will open up the floor to both Maciek and to Carl for last thoughts on this CI/CD topic. And if you liked this topic, let us know. We can always dive deeper into any of the topics that we cover. So if you liked this topic or if you have additional questions, definitely reach out to us and let us know.
I think the thing that you mentioned about that it's impossible to do overnight, this is one of the most important things you have to remember. Really start slowly, go step by step with every new test you introduced into your pipeline. You are a bit closer to this, to your goal. And don't worry if it will take you a month, half a year. It doesn't matter. Every time when you add something new, a new way to test before you deploy your code to production, you are becoming a better and better developer or a better team, because it's also important when you work as a team. And like I said, like Zach mentioned, it's impossible to do overnight, but just push forward step by step. Don't worry. You will get to the place when you realize that pushing your code without any testing, it's like impossible because you will be scared of doing something like this. And this is really not a nice feeling when you are afraid to push something that you did and something that adds and that's add value to the code. And on one hand, you feel that it's great, and on the other hand, you are afraid to show it to the world because it may break something else. And having all those tests will make you much calmer. You will feel safer, and you will be, and it would be much easier for you to share whatever you created with the rest of the world.
Absolutely. To bring it back to your love of cycling for a bit of a metaphor here. One does not simply go out, buy a mountain bike, and the next day do the Tour de France. It just doesn't happen. Right?
Of course.
There's steps along the way. And just like anything, you know, we need to take those steps one by one and arrive at that destination. Carl, any thoughts?
No, I think you guys articulated a lot of it. I mean, I could talk for hours. So that's
Carl always has thoughts. Yes,
like Magic P's like, wait. I was like, no, like I like literally, I could not shut up about all this stuff. But I think the essence of what we were trying to get across has been said. CI/CD is aspirational. It's something that is there to help. In some cases, not lose money. So, like I said, if your site makes you money and things like that, obviously there's a financial incentive to going to that. But I think if you're a developer and you're wondering about it, know that it's aspirational. Know that, you know, thanks to products like Buddy and Branch, it's easier to approach. But we all had to learn. We all had, you know, these moments of frustration where you're like, I wish I hadn't started. But the benefits, once you've had it for a little while, it becomes something you're like, it feels weird to not have it, because it does make you feel safer. It makes you feel more, and it's kind of a balanced thing. It makes you feel safer. And because of that, you feel more confident. So like, you feel more confident to make changes. You feel more confident to release your code. You feel like it brings you confidence. So you're less scared. And because of that, you're more confident to do things that could be risky, like refactoring, you know, rewriting some things, because you're like, well, will I break things for my previous customers? Well, now I have like hundreds of tests that can tell me that I didn't. Obviously, there's still some risk every time, but it makes you feel a bit safer. And because of that, you're willing to take more risks. So that's the whole point. And hopefully you enjoyed our little conversation on it.
Well, Magic, we really appreciate you joining us today. Where can people find you on the interweb?
Mostly on Twitter, search for palmiak_FP. And yeah, this is the place when you will find me the most, because I really don't understand how to use LinkedIn or Facebook. It's too complicated for me.
Same.
I mean, I know how to write tests, but I don't.
You can't really troll. You can't troll on LinkedIn. I mean, I guess some people maybe troll on LinkedIn, but like I'm a Twitter troller. So, you know, what social? I mean, you can kind of troll on Facebook, but it's not the same. Like Twitter is just like a fun space to troll on. So
yeah. So this is the place, and you can also find me when it comes to the place when I work on body.works, because I'm someone called a WordPress ambassador there. So if you have any problem with WordPress and CI/CD, you can just talk with me, and maybe I will help you to get started with your CI/CD adventure together with WordPress.
Hey, we all need a guide when we go on these journeys sometimes. So that is a great offer. Well, this has been another episode of the Woo Dev Chat here on Do the Woo. On behalf of Carl and myself and Bob and Till, who wasn't with us today, thank you for continuing to listen to our journey into all of these dev topics. If there are things you want to hear about, please, obviously, let us know. If you want to provide feedback, there are definitely ways to do that. You can find me on Twitter at ZStepik. Yeah, you can find Carl. And Carl, you're out there as Twig Press, right?
At Twig Press.
Yeah. So, yeah, just reach out, let us know what you think and what you want to hear about, and we'll try to get it scheduled for the near future. Thank you both again for being here, and I hope that you have a great time until our next episode.
Hey everyone, Bob WP here, and thanks again for tuning into today's show. I'd like to give one more shout out to our two pod friends. Make sure and check out nitropack.io for a powerful, optimized performance solution for your clients' WooCommerce sites. And looking for that point of sale solution for your clients, whether it's for an iPad, an Android app, or using their web app, check out foosales.com. You can always follow us by checking out dothewoo.io/subscribe. And until the next time, keep on doing the woo.